Good morning, everyone. If you'll turn in a Bible, whether it's yours that you brought from home or the one in front of you, to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10 today. And this is part of our series that we're going through this month on mission. On mission. The church outside the walls. Last week, we looked at 1 Peter 2. And we talked about how the church is on mission to proclaim the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. To speak His praise, not just in a group setting like this, but out there in the world. And today we're going to see another aspect of the mission that God has called us to. So let's take a look at what God's Word says from Romans chapter 13. Verses 8 through 10, this is the word of God. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. That it always has been true and it always will be true because you cannot lie. And what you promise us and what you say to us will always be true and applicable and important for us to hear. And as we just sang, speak, O Lord, to our hearts today by the Holy Spirit. Give us the ability to hear what you are saying to the church and then cause us not only to hear it, but to put what we hear into practice when it comes to our belief, when it comes to our repentance, when it comes to our obedience. Help us, Holy Spirit, to grow in what you want us to do. To believe how you want to live. And may this be for your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one true God. Amen. Well, with Labor Day weekend upon us, I knew that today would be a little more sparse in people coming, but I just want to point out that when it's Labor Day, most of you have the day off tomorrow, and so you're going to be going and doing various things. Maybe one of those things is going to get something to eat, because we all like to eat. Now, I want you to imagine that maybe tomorrow, you probably got other plans, but maybe you go downtown, and you're downtown Sumter, and you're planning on getting something to eat there. Maybe you're going to go to Jinjin. Maybe you're going to go to Cutrate. Maybe you're going to go to Hamptons. Maybe it's J. O'Grady's. You pick it. You can't go wrong with the restaurants that are downtown. You go to one of those restaurants, but while you're walking into the restaurant, somebody's walking out, a person you've never seen before, and they stop you and they say, "What's your mission?" How would you respond? I think the first response I would have is, this guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, there is something really wrong with him. Because we don't go up to people that we don't know and say, what's your mission? We might ask, what's your name? We might say, where are you going? If they seem to be going in the wrong direction. But we're not going to say, what's your mission? That's just weird. Now, it's commonplace for businesses and organizations to have mission statements. And maybe if you went into, like, say, Zaxby's, for example, and you said, hey, what's your mission statement? Maybe they would be able to tell you. Maybe they wouldn't. It's on the wall in every Zaxby's that you walk in, by the way. But we don't think about that as individuals, do we? We don't think, I have a mission. At least, we don't think about that in any kind of way where we are pressing on towards that mission. We don't do that. But the truth is, as we saw last week, and as hopefully we'll see today and through the next few weeks, that the church, the followers of Christ, we are on mission. We do have a mission, a God-given mission, because a mission is simply an important task, an important goal, or an important purpose that we work towards. And every single one of us, as the church, we have a mission. We have a task. We have a purpose. And today, we're going to talk about one particular area. And before we do that, I want to back up and show you the big picture. So part of God's mission for the church, part of God's mission is to obey His commands. Did you know that? Part of the mission of the church, the mission that God has given to us, is to obey His commands. Now you may hear that and you may be tempted to respond like Billie Eilish and say, duh, of course. Of course we're supposed to obey God's commands. I mean, He's God. And He created all things. And He brought us together as His people. And He's given us commands. And even the Lord Jesus Himself says, if you love me, you will what? You'll keep my commandments. You'll obey my commandments. So of course, the mission of the church is to obey His commands. To obey His commandments. But did you know that all of God's commandments are fulfilled in loving people? Did you know that? All of God's commands are fulfilled in loving people. That's what this passage says. Take a look at it with me. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And then he goes on, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other command, right? Any other commandment, all of those commands are summed up in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. And then if we still haven't gotten through it through our heads, he says in verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Church, we are on mission for God. And part of that mission is to obey what He has told us to do. And Paul writes here that all of God's commands, every single one of them, can be summarized with one command. Love. Now you may be thinking, if you're a church person, you've probably heard the saying where Jesus said that all of the law and prophets can be summed up with two commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so you may be saying, well, wait a second. If Paul is saying that all the commands can be obeyed with just one command, is he contradicting Jesus? Well, no, he's not. You know why? Because Jesus Himself says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Did you know that? Matthew 7, verse 12. Jesus says, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. That's love. For this is the law and the prophets. Every command that God has given, in some way, fashion, or form, can be fulfilled in loving neighbor, loving others. Think about that. He brings out a few in verse 9. He says, do not commit adultery. How is that loving your neighbor? Well, it should be obvious, but you're to be faithful to your one spouse. And that faithfulness should be for life. And when you break that faithfulness to that one spouse by being with another person, you're not showing love to your spouse. You're not showing love to your family. You're not showing love to that person that you're committing adultery with, because you're leading them astray. Or without, you shall not murder. Again, another obvious one. It's not very loving to kill someone. But it's not just them. It's their family. You haven't loved them well. If you kill a family member, they mourn. They're hurt. They're broken by that. And because there are laws against murdering, you hurt your own family. Because now they're watching you go to jail. And they're hurt by it. And you can take any one of these commands. In fact, you can take any command in Scripture. And you can say, how does this affect my neighbor if I break it? And you will see, no matter what command it is, even love the Lord your God and have no other gods before Him. If we break that, we have hurt our neighbors. You know why? Because we've set a bad example for them that they would follow. And it hurts them. So no matter what command there is, it's all fulfilled in loving neighbor. As again, Paul says in Galatians 5:14, the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what this passage is teaching. That's what Jesus taught. That's what Paul taught. That's what the Spirit is telling us today. And I want you to think about that. That makes sense of why Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong. I'm a clanging cymbal. I'm a noise. You know, like for parents, you've had those when you had little kids and there's a friend of yours who always thought it was fun to give one of those noisy toys to your child at Christmas time. And then you're on a trip and your child demands that they take that toy with them, and you put it in the back thinking you won't be able to hear it, and somehow it jars open and it starts to play the entire trip. Not that that's ever happened to us. It's like that. An annoying sound. If we don't have love, even if we were speaking beautiful words, it's just noise. Because love is central. Or he goes on in 1 Corinthians to say, if I have prophetic powers and I have the knowledge and wisdom to understand all mysteries, and if I had faith that can move a mountain, but I have not love, you know what Paul says? I'm nothing. Now in the church, that ought to mean something. Because we value knowledge and we value faith. Both of those things are important and good. But Paul says, if you have that but you don't have love, it's not worth it. Why? Because all of God's commands are summed up by love. So know whatever you can know and believe whatever you believe, but if you don't have love, it's not worth it. And then he goes on to say, even if I give away all that I have and my body is burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. See, Paul understood this. Paul understood that love is central. Love is the most important point. Love is the fulfillment of what God calls us to do. If I can say it another way, love is the mission of the church. Love is the mission of the church. Or to put it one more way, and I think this is the way that Paul puts it in verse 8, love is the obligation the church is called to fulfill. The, capital letter, T-H-E, the obligation. You see what he says in verse 8? Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. In other words, Paul is saying, you may have a debt to pay. Maybe you owe a car payment. Maybe you have a credit card bill. Maybe you have a mortgage. Well, you're to pay those things off. And when you pay those things off, you're done with it. You know, when you pay off that credit card bill and you cut that credit card in half and you say, never again will I use this. It's a beautiful thing. You fulfilled your debt. Or when you have a car payment and you make that last payment and you say, yay, I don't have to pay for a car again until it breaks down and I have to get another one. But at least for the moment, you've fulfilled your debt. You can pay off your mortgage and you can do like Drive did where they burned the note. Alice Drive Baptist just finished paying their building and they burned their note as a celebration of saying, our mortgage is paid for. We don't owe anything anymore. And Paul is saying, yeah, make sure you pay your debts, whatever they are, but you're never going to be away from the obligation to love people. That is a debt you will never pay off, because we're always called to love people. We will never be able to look at another human being and say, I have fulfilled my love debt to you, and I don't have to do another thing ever. We can't do that. Now, we may, because of circumstances, we may need to create some boundaries to help us to not get entangled in some kind of negative situation with them. But that is not the opposite of love. Love is ongoing. And love is looking after the best interest of another person. And sometimes the best interest is saying, I need to remove myself from the situation so you can get some help. But that's what Paul is saying here. Love is the obligation the church is called to fulfill. There's this story that I heard, and I'm sure it's just a story, about a new pastor who comes to town. And this pastor is known for his great sermons. I mean, you know, golden tongue kind of sermons. You know, the type of sermons that everybody is hanging on every kind of word. And so the church is extremely excited about this young man coming to be a part of this church, to be this pastor. And the first Sunday, he stands up in the pulpit and he says, our text today is John 13, verse 34. Which says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And he preached this beautiful sermon, and everybody was in tears at the end of it, and they left and they said, "Wasn't that a great sermon? It was so awesome. Can you believe we've got such a great pastor who preaches such great sermons?" And the next week they came back, and the pastor stood at the pulpit and he said, "Our sermon text today is Luke 13, verse 34. Which says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And he preached the exact same sermon that he did from the week before. And people are kind of looking at each other like, "Didn't we hear this already? What's up with this? I mean, I thought he was like this great pastor. He preaches really well." And they left scratching their heads, and they thought, well, maybe he just had a bad week, and I don't know, maybe he forgot what he preached last week, or maybe he just was too busy, and so he just thought, "Oh, I'll just pull a sermon out," and he forgot that he preached that one, and he just preaches this other one. But it's the same one, and he just didn't realize it. So they were looking forward to the third week, when they showed up, and the pastor stands up in the pulpit, and on this third Sunday, he says, "Our text today is John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And at this point, people are getting mad. "We hired this pastor to preach good sermons. We hired this man to give these sermons that would really impact us, and the first one was great, but he's using it every week." And so a whole host of congregant members come out at the end, and they surround the pastor, and they say, "What is going on, pastor? This is the third week that you've preached this message. It's the exact same message from the first week. What is going on?" And the pastor says, "When the church actually starts obeying and living out this sermon, I'll move on to the next one." Again, I know that's just a story, because the next thing that would happen is the pastor would get fired. But he had a point. If love is the fulfillment of the law, which Paul says it is, and if love is central to who we are as a church, as Jesus says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If love is that central, then it is something that we need to hear often. And not just hear, but live out. There may be some of you here today who are not Christians or who may not have been in the church for a while. Let me ask you, when you think of the church, is the first thing you think of love? I've talked to enough non-Christians to know that's not the first thing that they think of. And yet Jesus says, this is how people will know. You're my disciples. This is what it looks like to love, to obey, to be his people. It's loving other people. Now you may say, "Okay, Stuart, I'll bite. We're to love people. Got it. But who am I supposed to love?" Okay, I can buy that I'm supposed to love the people in this room because we're all, you know, part of the church. And, you know, Christ died for this person and Christ died for that person. So, yeah, I'm supposed to love these people. Sure, got it. Okay. But do I have to love people outside of this building? Instead of answering that myself, can I give you the words of Jesus? I mean, because he's the one we follow. This is what Jesus says. Luke 6, verse 27 and following. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. In other words, you love everybody. There's nobody who can be removed from that kind of love, because God Himself loves even the ungrateful and the evil. After all, that's who we were. Children of wrath, brought to be children of God. Ungrateful people for what God had done in our lives, and yet He showed us even more grace. And that is the whole point of where we go with this text. We say, okay, I'm the love, but how do I do that? Well, we love God, and we love other people, we love others, because God first loved us in Christ. That is the fuel and the foundation of our love. We love because God first loved us in Christ. Many people will point out in 1 John 4:19 that it says that. We love because He first loved us. And they say, the reason I love God is because He loved me first. And that's true. A lot of times we put a period at the end of that sentence, as if the only reason I love anybody, well, the only reason I love God is because He loved me first, but I don't have to love anybody else. But you know what that passage goes on to say in 1 John? 1 John 4:19 through 20. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You see how this all comes together? Love of neighbor is the fulfilling of the law, because when God has loved us in Christ, it spills over into the way we love Him and other people. And how did God demonstrate this love? God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. And what did He give? He gave His only Son. He gave His only Son up to death for us. I have three children that I love dearly. And as much as I would like to say that I love other people really well, I don't know if I could give up any one of them for somebody else. But that's the way God demonstrated His love for us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I was thinking about that this week. I was thinking about what great love Jesus has for His church. Love. There's that word again. I love comfort and ease and peace. Jesus loved us enough to leave the comfort and ease and peace of heaven to put on flesh and to live among sinners like me and you. He endured rejection and suffering and pain. And that pain wasn't just physical. It was emotional. It was mental. I would even argue it was spiritual, because on the cross, do you remember what Jesus says? My God, why have you forsaken me? He hung naked on a cross, bleeding out, struggling to breathe, while people mocked him and laughed at him, and he did it all out of love. Love for people like me and you. He took our curse. He took the wrath of our sin upon himself at the cross. And he died. Life of life itself died for us. That is love, my friends. An amazing love that we will never be able to completely comprehend. We'll never get to the depths of that love. And not only did he love us that way, but he also rose from the dead so that we would be with him forever. And all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, that is the love God has given to us. And it's that love that God has poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is the spillover into the way we love other people. As God has loved us in Christ, we are to love one another. And we're to go outside of these walls and love the people of our community, our neighbors. If you're buying what I'm selling, then I want to ask you a couple of questions. How do we do this? Yes, we believe in Jesus and we relish in his love, but what does that look like out there? Well, let me give you a few suggestions, a few thoughts. If you don't know where to start, get to know people. It's hard to love someone unless you actually know them. Sure, you can say, oh, I generally love everybody, but you're not really doing anything with that general love unless you know somebody. Get to know them. You get to know their issues, their problems, their highs, their lows. And that allows you to be able to engage with them. Start with the church. Start with the people in this room. Join a life group. That's, for this church, that is probably the way to get to know people well. You can show up on Sunday morning like you've done today and leave and never really know a soul. But if you get involved in a life group, you start to hear people's stories. You start to hear their prayer requests. You start to hear the issues of their lives, and then you can learn to love one another better. You can get to know your literal neighbors. Who is the person that lives on the right of you, on the left of you, in front of you? Have you asked them over into your house? Invited them for some hospitality? Have you asked them out, if you don't want to invite them into your home, have you asked them out for lunch just to get to know them? Have you just asked them to do something with you so that you can get to know them better? That's part of love, just getting to know people. Same is true for your coworkers or your classmates. Ask questions. Learn about each other. Remember. Remember what they say. And pray for them. Those are all great ways of showing love. Do something tangible that is good for the other person. You know, one of the things that just blows me away is that there are people in this church who they see a need and they don't hesitate to run and get that need taken care of for another person. And when I see that, I say, that's love. They see the need and they say, what can I do to help? from mowing someone's lawn to cooking a meal for them, to showing up at the hospital when someone's sick, to praying for them. It's just investing a little time and a little effort into someone else. That is what love looks like. And we love because Christ has loved us so well, so deeply, so beautifully. So folks, because we have been loved so well in Christ Jesus, let's abound more and more in loving others well. Let me pray for us that we will do that. Father, we know that in your word you say that you love us. Help us to know that love more deeply. You say that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Help us to know that love in more and more deep ways. You say in your word that you have poured that love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Allow that love to fill us up and then to spill over into the way we love you and we love people in this room, love people out in the community. Teach us the way of love and cause us to abound more and more in loving others because of the way you've loved us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.